providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody has enjoyed those first two segments. More focus kind of generally on markets as well as diving into the gold sector. In this segment, I am chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an editor over at Weiss Ratings, writes a number of different newsletters, a couple that I pay close attention to, the Marijuana Millionaire Portfolio and the Super Cycle Investor. Sean, let's start off by talking about the gold sector, with gold finally getting a breakout and moving above a level or hitting highs that it hasn't seen in 5 and 6 years. I want us to dive down into some of the stocks, because you can still make the argument that the stocks are lagging. Some of the bigger miners have started to move, which is typical for kind of a new bull market for the precious metals. But what are you keying in on in terms of stocks, gold stocks, that you are either adding to your recommendations or at least considering?
Right. Well, I'm looking for those stocks that can control their costs and are also growing their production organically, if possible. That would tend to rule out a bunch of stocks. So, I mean, it's not like you want to rule out anything. But those are the things I like. I have to tell you, though, those stocks that will go up the fastest are those that were either losing money at like recent prices or else just barely making money, because their profit margins widen tremendously, or else they start making a profit for the first time in a long time. And so those are the ones that catapult higher. However, those also come with some risk, because when you have a pullback, right, you know that those will collapse. I like to sleep at night. So I like stocks with a good fundamental basis that are growing organically, that have top management. But I also like some explorers as well. And those are performing tremendously too. One thing we haven't seen in this large move yet is we haven't seen silver start to outperform gold. We haven't seen silver miners start to outperform the gold miners. And that's important, because that's usually a sign of a bull market, is when silver outperforms gold. We haven't seen that yet. So either we're wrong or else we're still very early stages. I believe we're still very early stages and the big run in silver is yet to come. But that's not stopping me from buying silver miners either. Just to give you some examples of like some of the stocks we've added in the past month, we have First Majestic Silver. That's up tremendously. We have AngloGold Ashanti, a great global gold miner, the number three producer in the world. It is closing mines in South Africa, and it's really keeping a lid on its costs. It's doing great, great stuff. We own Pretium Gold, which rides a roller coaster when it comes out with its earnings reports, but dang, that's doing very, very well for us right now. We have Wheaton Precious Metals, because you should always have a streamer, and that really is probably the best one. We have SSR Mining, which used to be Silver Standard Mining, but then they became more of a gold producer, and so they like changed their name. And those are the kind of stocks that are really good at controlling costs. They either have new projects coming online, or else they're doing some other kind of organic growth. They have great management. Those are among the ones that I find really interesting right now. Those are the ones that I've already given to my subscribers. One last one would be Kirkland Lake. We've been riding that horse for a while and doing very, very well. Some people might say it's overbought at this point. You know, the symbol is a KL. Anyone can look at it. It's had a great run. I can see why you might hesitate to buy it now. We bought it a long time ago, but dang, that has super high grades. Oh, I also look for high grades, because high grades cover up a lot of problems, and there's always a problem in gold mining. So that has high grades. It has growing production. It has organic growth. Kirkland Lake, there's nothing not to like about it. So those are the kind of companies that I'm looking at.
plus, yeah, just look at that stock chart for Kirkland Lake. And if you've been riding that for a while, man, you're doing very, very well. But you did outline, you know, some of the royalty streaming companies. Those have been doing well for a while. And those large miners, you did mention something there that I think is crucial. And that is all about keeping costs under control. Because in bull markets, unfortunately, costs also escalate for some companies almost just as fast as, let's say, the gold price can. What are some of the aspects that you key on to get an understanding if companies are actually controlling their costs?
Well, you just look at the year-over-year all-in sustaining costs. Now, that said, we have to understand the companies fudge those things enough that you could probably drive a truck through them, but you can see a trend in a company's cost structure. It's also important, by the way, there are some producing miners that still issue shares, usually to make purchase of like some kind of project or else something like that. That will be punished in any market correction. So you have to be very careful. Is the company you're looking at the kind of company that issues shares a lot? Because if it is, let me tell you, that is going to hurt it big time. So stay away from those. You like companies with cash flow, or at least I do. I mean, one I don't own, but I'm looking at right now would be a B2 Gold. I mean, that has tremendous cash flow. I'd like to buy it on a pullback. I may not get that chance. It like operates around Africa. It has great mines and cash flow. Cash flow will really allow these companies to, when they want to buy new projects, they don't have to issue new shares. So definitely look for that.
Okay, one other quick comment regarding some of these larger companies. One topic that's been on everyone's mind for a while now has been debt levels. How much do you key on in long-term, short-term debt levels of some of these major miners?
Yeah, well, the ones I buy have to have a plan in place to actually reduce their debt levels. AngloGold Ashanti is an example of that. They have debt. They absolutely do, you know, and so that might make some people blanch, but they're actively working to reduce that debt and looking stronger because of it. We can have a whole conversation about good debt and bad debt and like stuff like that, but they just have to have a plan and they have to be working that plan. Those companies that, I mean, I can think of some outside the gold space that make acquisitions that just don't make any sense. Actually, I can think of some inside the gold space, but let's not throw stones at like this point. But, you know, sometimes they make an acquisition that you look at like what they're acquiring with that debt and like you're thinking, wow, things really have to go right for that project to work. You know, like say they're going to pick up some project that maybe has been mismanaged in the past. And they think they can run it better, and maybe they can, but maybe they can't. And so be really careful what they're using that debt for. That's all I'd say.
Okay, final comment here regarding gold companies. You talked about production being key and making money. Is there a certain level that you like to see in terms of production? A lot of people talk about 100,000 ounces of gold production a year. Do you care about that level?
Well, that seems to be what the market looks at as some kind of magic number. I actually look at production growth. And of course, you might be thinking, well, the guy owns AngloGold Ashanti and they aren't growing production. That's true. They have other things that are actually going for them. But in most of the miners I look at production growth or the potential for production growth. Do they have a new project that they plan to bring online in like 6 months, 9 months down the road? Because that's what the market will probably fixate on, that they have some new honeypot coming on that is just going to be great for their earnings. So look at what they have in their pipeline. I think that's very, very important.
All right, let's also switch focus to the cannabis sector. You and I have been covering the cannabis sector now for a number of months and discussing some of the companies that interest us and some of the areas where you see a sweet spot. I think we can say generally cannabis stocks have been trying to sell off, but no way have they been just flat out breaking down. An interesting thing that you pointed out to me off mic is that acquisitions have been generally getting sold. Whenever a company announces an acquisition, their stock has been pressed down a little bit in terms of the share price. What do you think this is telling you about the cannabis sector?
Well, this really tells me that investors, probably larger investors, believe these companies are overpaying. The Flower Corporation is an excellent example, and I can talk about this one because my subscribers used to own it, and they took profits, and we don't own it anymore. But then it announced that it was making an acquisition on Wednesday, and its stock went down by 18%. So that's a heck of a move to the downside. And I'm looking at it. It didn't look like a bad acquisition to me, but obviously the market disagrees. Now, one thing that really hurts these companies is there's a lot of hot money in the sector anyway, right? It's all sloshing around. And so hot money really tends to get scared by anything. It just spooks. And so if you come out with something that isn't like immediately accretive to the bottom line, people are just going to get spooked and run out the door. And then you have, say, companies like Canopy Growth that aren't making any money, don't seem to be having the opportunity to make money anytime in the next 2 years. Why are you buying that stock? Now, I can't think of good reasons to buy it. I don't own it. My subscribers don't own it. But if it got cheap enough, I would buy it. But on the other hand, if it has no earnings and it just seems to keep spending money, at some point that share price is going to correct. So people think these stocks are overvalued anyway. They think that when they make these acquisitions, they are paying too much. And it's an extremely volatile industry filled with hot money that just sloshes around and runs out of things when people are scared. You put those together and you can have some jaw-dropping corrections. But if the underlying business of a particular company is sound, you might look at those corrections as a chance to pick it up.
Well, and that's the thing, though, isn't it? As much as people keep on saying these cannabis companies are overvalued, it's not like we're seeing a flood out of the sector. We are seeing a rotation, and quite frankly, people are still paying attention. So, I don't know, sometimes that sentiment, right, when people say that something is overvalued, it's almost that climbing that wall of worry that we can see happen for a prolonged period of time.
I would absolutely agree, and also, as bad as sentiment has been recently, and believe me, I launched a newsletter. I'm seeing how bad it can be. I am seeing things kind of firm up now. And so I think that perhaps some of the worries about all the hot air in the sector have been rectified. I think at least select companies can actually see their way forward to actually making money in the next year or two. Those are some that I would keep my eye on, because it is important that at some point they will start making money, but what's their plan beyond that? What's their growth plan? I mean, they can't just make money. They have to have a plan to keep growing at a very fast pace. There are select companies that are actually well positioned in this industry to do just that, to grow very quickly. And so I think there's tremendous opportunities out there. People just have to be aware of it, and they have to be willing to take some lumps in the short term, because the long term payoff could be quite extraordinary.
All right, John, we're going to wrap it up there. But hey, good comments on two sectors that do get a lot of attention still on our show. But I do appreciate driving down into some of the stocks and what you're looking for. It's encouraging to see this gold breakout. And I think for all those cannabis investors, still encouraging to see this, well, massive amount of money that is still, for the most part, remaining in that sector. Sean, great chatting with you. If anybody wants more information on any of Sean's newsletters, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I am happy to put you in touch with Sean and his team over at Weiss Ratings. Sean, thanks for your time today, buddy.
Thanks very much.